Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel center church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.
Good morning, Impact Church. Yeah, very good. Hey, it is so cool to actually be here. For those of you who don't know me, you're very lucky, actually. But I am so happy to be here. I'm Pastor Terry, one of the pastors over at Impact Nova, which is where Impact Fredericksburg was planted from. And I'm so excited because every time I come, get the privilege to preach for y'all, I always get to meet new people, and I get to see old people and see how much they have grown. I get to see a lot of change. And just to, I think the biggest change is this location, actually. This is not the same location as last time, right? No, yeah. And you have it in a theater, which I'm really jealous because I'm actually in a theater kick right now, too. So, but hey, good morning again. Very nice place. Thank you, praise team, for that. Thank you for always singing songs that match the sermon. That is not by coincidence. We did not tell them to sing those songs, but they just know through God's word, and the Lord speaks to them and shares with them what songs they should be singing out for that Sunday as well. And this morning, I just wanted to kind of just share. As I get older, I get a lot of experiences of catching up with people, right? Catching up with people, people that you have not seen in a while. And it's really cool because when you catch up with them, it actually reflects scripture, especially in the epistles or the letters from the apostles, where, you know, usually at the end or in the beginning, they have like, hey, say hi to so-and-so for me, or hey, how's so-and-so doing? And these people say greetings to you. So anytime I get a chance to come and see Impact Fredericksburg, I feel that way. I get to experience scripture, especially the parts where you kind of skim over, but especially in the experience of really catching up with you people and also really getting to know the new people as well. Because the thing is, with technology, with texting and social media and so forth, we get to see people's pictures, and we see them pretty much, it feels like we see them every day. And so when we actually see them in person, it doesn't feel like an abrupt change. It doesn't feel like a big thing. But in those times where you actually do see certain people, and you do see the big changes, like some of your children here today, it's really disgusting how much you guys have grown lately, actually. It's really cool because you get to see, again, actual change between this person. Now, speaking of change, let me share with you something that I still don't get used to today. Parents, you may agree with me when I say this, but who here has ever experienced a time where you've seen a kid that you taught or babysat, you did kids ministry for them, and you see them maybe like 5 or 6 years later, it's the same face, just a different body, and their voices are very, very different. And it's, I can never get used to that, all right? We're going to talk about puberty today. The voice change, right? It's weird. It's still disgusting. A couple weeks ago, I was at a gala, and some young lady comes up to me. Are you Mr. Kim? Yes. Did you teach at so-and-so school? Yes. All right. I was your student when I was in fifth grade. I was like, oh, yes, I remember you. Very good. 24 now. 24. So that's like 15-year difference. And I was like, oh, cool. Ew. Yeah. Maybe it's because it reminds me of how old I'm getting. Anyway. So naturally, people change. And we get to see that physically. We get to see the physical changes through the voice changes, through the body. Some of these kids are a lot more in shape than I am, which, again, it's just disgusting. So the physical changes are very noticeable. You get to see them real quick. You get to experience them as well. But for those of you here who have worked with teenagers before, you also know that kids go through emotional changes. They go through mental changes. There's a time where in the beginning they're kind of like, you know, self-centered. They only care about themselves. They only care about what they want to do and what they want to eat and so forth. But then slowly, some people more slowly than others, slowly they get it. They actually become less self-centered. They actually kind of help out in the house every once in a while, you know, and they're like, okay, I don't like this, but I'll eat this, you know, because I love you, mom or dad. So you see the emotional and mental changes as well, too. In fact, there was I still remember this kid. He was kind of a bully back in high school, and he was a troublemaker. So his name was well known throughout the school because how much trouble he caused. Out of the blue, 10 years after he graduated, he Facebooks me saying, hey, you know, man, I know I was kind of a jerk back in the day. Yes, you were. But I just want to let you know, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, and things are very different right now. And he has like a family now, he has like 3 kids, and I'm like, wow. You see the contrast between back in the day and today, and how he's leading his family to the Lord. It's like crazy. It blows your mind. So we see physical changes. We also see mental and emotional changes. But today we're going to talk about spiritual changes. What are some of the signs that point and show us that there has been a spiritual change going on in a person? 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, it's the chapter that is known about the love chapter. And I love this analogy that Paul shares here where he talks about how he himself was once a child. He reasoned like a child. He thought like a child. He acted like a child. But as he grew up and he matured, he gave up those childish ways. And what he was talking about is like, look, as a kid, we are generally self-centered. In fact, I was joking yesterday, why are babies cute? Because if they were not cute, we would kill them. All right? Parents, nod your heads. Yes. Why? Because they are the most selfish vessels ever. They cannot take care of themselves. All they do is ask, ask, ask. But then as kids grow up, and they can become a little bit more self-sufficient, and they get it. It is maturity is measured by not so much how much they know or what they can do. Those are all good things. But maturity is actually measured by how much they are willing to serve and love other people as well. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I used to be a child. I used to think about myself alone, only what I wanted. But now that I have matured, I don't think about those things. I think about loving the Lord. I think about loving one another. And this is what love is about. Being patient, being kind, enduring all things, bearing all things, and so forth. So, beloved, this morning we will ask ourselves and answer this question again. What are the spiritual realities, the spiritual signs that someone has actually met Jesus and has grown in Jesus, is growing, right? And we get to see that spiritual puberty, if you like to say it. What are some of those things that we can recognize in other people, but also in ourselves, to be reminded that it is the Spirit of God who is faithful and working in us. It is Jesus who is faithful and working in us. And we get to encourage one another through that faithfulness that God is doing as well. So if you have not been in Colossians already, please turn to Colossians. I forgot what chapter we're in right now, but I'll get there eventually. But again, I'm sure the elders here have been preaching through it faithfully as well, but just a very quick reminder. The book of Colossians is about this. It is because of Jesus... this, all right? Because of Jesus, because of what he has done, who he is, and what he continues to do, this. And this is what Colossians is all about. And so what is exactly this? And when we look at our passage today, we will see what this is, the Word of God being alive in you. Let's look at verse 16. Hopefully my slides are up. If they're not up, then just pretend that they're up right now, all right? Verse 16, chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2. New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says this. It says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Stop right there. There's a lot going on here. Some context here. Apologies if pastors have already gone through it, but for those who need it, Paul was writing to a group of Christians who were dealing with another group who kept on claiming that, yes, you start your faith with Jesus, but you maintain your faith and salvation by upholding the law of Moses, by continuing to do religion and maintaining your salvation. And now, I'm not going to go into detail why they were wrong. There was a lot. But in short, as you read through the New Testament, all the letters of the New Testament, especially Paul, over and over and over and over and over again, he argues that because of Jesus, we are no longer under the law. We are no longer under the old covenant where we have to uphold these commands that God has given to Israel. No. Why? Not that God has abolished the law. It is because His Son Jesus has fulfilled the law. He has obeyed the law. You may have heard in church before, Jesus was a sinless man. Well, what does that mean? Was that he was white, he was holy, he was pure? No, it is those things. But what we mean by sinless is that he was perfectly obedient. He perfectly fulfilled what God expected all mankind to live here on this earth. So Jesus lived a life where we as human beings, made in the image of God, were originally supposed to live. But as we see in Genesis, Adam and Eve did not do that. In fact, Jesus did, and he lived out what Adam and Eve did not do. That is why sometimes we call Jesus the second Adam, the perfect Adam. He lived what God designed us to originally live out. The reality is, you know, well, how does that affect me? The thing is, if I were in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, I would have not only probably eaten the fruit, I would have probably pushed my wife out of the way and, you know, like, I'm going to take that fruit because it looks good to my eyes, all right? That's how bad I would have been as well. In short, we would have done the exact same thing. And my proof of that is, you just look at your life today. Don't look at my life, okay? But my life is a good example of sin. There you go, all right? Should a pastor say that? My life is a good example of sin. I need Jesus much more than probably you all here today, actually. Because the reality is, we continue to live a life where we struggle with that original sin. Not just the taking of the fruit of the tree, no. The original sin meaning that prideful belief that we can be God ourselves and live life according to what we think is correct, according to our timing, what we believe is the right way. And we see that in our lives today, don't we? Some of us here are probably even living out the outcome of some of our decisions away from God, but we believe that it is the correct one. But the good news, beloved, is that when you have faith in Jesus, not only are your sins and your rebellion forgiven, but because of His shed blood, He paid the price of sin through death, and He gives us not only forgiveness, our Lord, because of His sinless life, He gives us His righteousness as well. The quick analogy is that when you have failed a test of any sort, Jesus has passed that test perfectly. And not only has He passed that test, He gives us His A+. We got the F, He gives us His A+. We don't deserve it, but in His love and mercy, we receive that same A+ that He has received. And so when you go back even to verse 9 in Colossians chapter 2, look at him. Look at what it says. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. All right, He came as man. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. And so our Lord has not only saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has adopted you into His family. He has done everything necessary so that we may be with Him, that we can be in His presence. We can communicate with Him. We are inheritors of all of His promises that He gives to His people. And our God has done this. He made it possible by not only coming down to us as man, showing us how to live, but for those who believe in Him today, God continues to dwell in you through His Spirit, which is further proof that according to our passage today, faith is not just another shift into another religion. It is not even just a relationship just to have fun with God. No, it is a relationship proven by the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you today. It is not a relationship by we have to give offerings every once in a while. We do not have to give sacrifices because we have sinned and we need to atone for those things. No. It is not a relationship where we are measured by how much we trust in Jesus today and then we maintain that salvation by going to church and doing all these good works. No. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we sang it today, we are sealed through the Holy Spirit and His promise. But as Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul continues in Ephesians 2. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And so, beloved, the reason why I emphasize this faith alone, grace alone basis is that, just like yours truly, we need that reminder daily in our lives. We are not just saved by faith, but we are continued to be maintained and sanctified and edified by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that has saved us. So if you accept that and you believe that today, then you'll understand why Paul is having a hoopla over these groups of people who are claiming Jesus first, then works afterwards. He's saying that, no, it's like, look, how cruel is that, he's saying. How cruel is it that you have, it's the worst bait and switch ever. Whereas, like, yes, it is by faith alone, just believe in Jesus alone, and then once you actually make that decision, now you got to do all this and this and this and this. You can see why he gets upset over this. Your sins are forgiven, Jesus loves you, he paid for your sins, believe in him, and be saved. And, oh, by the way, now you have to do this. Now you have to do this now. Can you imagine a friend that you owed a debt to, a large debt, and, you know, out of his grace, out of his love for you, he's like, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. I know you're in a tough spot. I got you. I covered you. Don't worry about it. I'll never ask about it again. Just don't even bother asking. You feel pretty good. 2 weeks down the line, hey, by the way, hey, you know when I said that? I didn't really mean it. Can you give me back the $1,000, actually? It's frustrating. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because it feels like a lie, for one. But not only that, you actually have to do the work to cover that cost once again. And that is not true forgiveness. Galatians 4:9, Paul says, now that you know God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn back? You go back to these weak and worthless principles. Do you want to be enslaved by them all over again? So Paul, you can see now, he says, let no one pass judgment on you. For those who are in Christ, let no one pass judgment on you over food or drink or a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Because the last time I checked, the thief on the cross did not have a doctorate's degree in Mosaic law and Jewish festivals for the Lord to say, you will see me in paradise today. He knew the most important thing, that Christ was Lord. And beloved, is that our belief today? In fact, look at verse 17, where Paul says, all these things, Sabbaths, moons, and whatever you guys do, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. I want you guys to consider this, because Paul, a former Pharisee, he was a man who was Jewish inside and out. He knew the law. He knew all the festivals. He knew all the traditions. He knew all the things that these Jewish people were demanding these Christians to do. But what was he saying here in verse 17? The key matter is not doing all of these festivals and celebrations and religious acts. He's rather saying, no, what are these festivals pointing to? Who is it pointing to? That's the key. No one greets a shadow of a person. When you see someone, you know, my wife, at like 2 hours, I miss my wife, right? 1 hour, 1 hour. When I see her, I don't hug her shadow. I don't say, wow, that's a beautiful shadow. I know that sounds really silly, but that is what Paul's saying here. Absolutely ridiculous, he's saying. Because what matters is the one that the shadow is casted from. I care for the person. So if this festival points to Jesus, great, let's do it for the love of Jesus. If I refrain from food, that's not bad. But as long as it points you to Jesus, do that. And this is what Paul is saying here. It represents, look at what it represents. Because that is what really matters. Today even, church, you will take communion. And we know here at Impact, communion, the act of communion itself does not save. You know that, right? So, but communion is one of the most beautiful, direct ways to remember the one who has saved, right? Jesus our Lord, his body being broken, his blood being shed, do this in remembrance of me, he says. Remembrance of what? What I have done for you, how I have saved you, how I have loved you so much. To be clear, church, some of these things that they were actually demanding, they're not innately bad or sinful. But the key that Paul is sharing here is that when they take precedence over our Savior, when they become our focus, and we stress out when we don't do them, then we're in trouble because we have forgotten the true focus, that is our Lord Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit more on that in a sec, but look at verse 18. Let's keep going. So he says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through his joints and ligaments grows with the growth that is from God. Paul, in these verses, is offering some practical guidelines here. Because one of the things about the common trait of false teaching or incomplete teaching or skewed teaching, whatever you want to say it, is that it misses the point of what's truly important, right? If you were to take any cult, oftentimes the pattern is they will take one or two points of theology and overemphasize that, forgetting the whole theology, right? That's what cults often do. And so these groups, again, they were taking the holiness, the purity of God and yourself and your life. Holiness is a good thing. Living a pure life is a good thing. Your body is the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing. But when you believe and trust in that, then we have some problems here. And so a question that I want us to ask, anytime you may deal or interact with people who believe in a false religion or believe in a skewed Christian belief, I want you to ask this question. Then what happens? All right? Ask that question. Then what happens? Follow through at the end of the path. What happens when I faithfully continue to do this, what you are demanding me to do? So for example, asceticism, which is the attempt, the belief that you need to live a holy life by refraining from pleasure in your life. Because a lot of people believe pleasure was kind of sinful and it kind of tainted your soul in some shape or form. And so that sounds good in paper. Christians should live holy lives and so forth. But then what? Then what happens? What does it produce? Is that what God wants after you actually reach your goal? What happens in an ascetic lifestyle? The worship of angels. Already, I have a lot of comments on that. That's already wrong, all right? Don't worship angels. But let's keep playing this game. What happens when you worship angels? What is the end result of that? You worship your angels, but do they save you? No. Do they love you? No. Do you have an eternal promise with them? No. People can believe that they are godly, they are gifted spiritually. They believe that because they have visions, about God, and you know, they can express every detail. They can talk about all the genealogies and myths and so forth. You ask that question. Then what? Then what happens? Now what? Rather, church, look at verse 19. Because he's saying all these things that may seem holy and biblical and even Christian, they actually distract from the more important matters. Verse 19, one more time. These cults, these false beliefs, they do not hold fast to the head. That is Jesus. Meaning that we get distracted from the most important thing, our relationship with Jesus. Our purpose in life is not to fulfill religious obligation. Our purpose and creation and reason for creation was to have a relationship with our Creator. It was unfortunately due to our sin that broke that relationship, requiring our need for a Savior. But the original mandate was what? Go be fruitful, multiply, enjoy the presence and the fellowship of your Creator, your God. 1 John 4 speaks into this. Beloved, do not believe in every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So the important matter here is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. But when you continue verse 19, Paul also refers to what? The body. Meaning the church. The body of believers coming together, gathering together, growing together in the Lord. And so already we see Paul's biggest point here. The transformed life, the life that loves Jesus, believes in Jesus, follows Jesus, loves God and loves other people. If you want that spiritual purity sign, it is this right here. You will love God and you will love other people. What good is it if you are religious and do not love your brother? 1 Corinthians 13. What good is it if you memorize all scripture and all genealogies and myths and have not love? What is the purpose of all those things? And so regarding to our illustration this morning, again, puberty may be the sign of physical change. Emotional empathy might be the sign of emotional mental change. But the sign of a changing person in Christ is this. Their increasing love for God, His Word, His promises, who He is, His kingdom, all of His matters, what He cares about, which very much involves the people that God has placed into your life. That freedom that we sang about today, that freedom in Christ, it is not a freedom to continue on sinning so that grace may abound. It is not a way to continue to live a wicked lifestyle and say, oh, well, at least I'm forgiven. Forgiven by grace. See you in heaven someday, Lord. That freedom that we have in Christ is the freedom to go out and love other people as God has loved us first. What a beautiful use of freedom. And I'll touch upon this even more in a sec, but I love the fact is, people, no matter your background, no matter what you have done, if you are forgiven, all sins have been forgiven, and your identity is in Christ Jesus, there is nothing stopping you from loving and serving other people. That's why I love this church. This is why I love the fact that you guys are basically preaching my sermon for me while you were singing. Because you are free. In Christ, you are free. And if that faith is genuine, you will love other people. Why? Why would you love other people, though? What causes that? Because when you live a life that is free, you are living a life that has full access to God, you're living a life that by faith alone that you are saved, you can see why Paul gets angry. Why do you want to go back to your old dead life then? Why do you want to be enslaved again? Verse 20, if with Christ you have died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to regulation? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to all the things that perish as they are used according to the human precepts and teachings. In fact, look at verse 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value. Read this. In stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Verse 23. Stop right there, because there's a very deep theological truth going on here. Something that's really true about ourselves that we need to really learn about ourselves, especially in the whole pathway of growing in the Lord. All right? I'm going to ask you a question while I try to fix this mic on my ear right now, because my ear is so big. All right? I apologize. Oh, there we go. True or false? You can go to church and still not be saved. True or false? True. Well, good. Your pastors are teaching you very well. Why? You know the answer to that is because the standard of salvation is not your church attendance. Thank you, Lord. Right? It is by your faith in Jesus. Here's another question. You can have a tattoo and still be a Christian and be saved. Amen. Right? Now, teenagers, I am not endorsing you to get a tattoo. Please don't do that. All right? Parents are going to kill me. But we know that no matter the marking on the body, it does not affect the internal change of the spirit of a person. Right? And that's the point that I'm trying to get here. Because if we were to continue to play this game of are you saved or not based on this, we know that the standard will and always will be Jesus Christ, your relationship and belief in Jesus Christ. And the reason why that is so important is because what Paul is trying to say here is the necessary component for salvation is not an external change. It is an internal change. And you see the pattern here. The pattern of festivals, worshiping on a different Sabbath, refraining from pleasure or refraining from certain foods and so forth. Look, those are all external matters that do not change the heart belief of a person. The temperament of a person, the personality of a person, the belief and loyalty of a person. Only Christ Jesus can do such a thing. You can do all external things. You can change all external things. Change which church you go to, read your Bible even more, even go to a mission trip and so forth. You can do all these external things hoping to meet God, which is very tragic because God is already trying to meet you now today through His Spirit and His Word. He is not lost. God is not on a mission trip overseas, although sometimes He is, right? No, God is reaching you today through His Word, through His Spirit, and shown through His Son, Christ Jesus. And the only reason why Jesus is so, so imperative is because of the need for the internal change of a person. You see on cigarette boxes that warning, cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, yada, yada, yada. Today, the smoking business, I think, still continues, doesn't it? And it still makes tons of money. In fact, in Korea, not only do they put a warning sign on the cigarette boxes, they'll actually show pictures of cancer, like mouth cancer. All right? You can look it up. They actually show pictures of lung cancer, of the lips and so forth. And to kind of deter people from doing that, they still smoke. Today, this morning, I was reminded of the debauchery of man. Speed limit on 95, 70. Yeah, right. In fact, people get mad at me for not breaking the speed limit enough for them. Right? That is the debauchery of man. Parents telling their kids, don't do that. Tempts them to do it more. In fact, I will tell you right now, church, do not think about a carrot. And as I said carrot, a carrot popped into your head, and you're thinking about a carrot right now. The unfortunate matter is that people, even to this day, believe in the tragedy that religion, ritual, obligation will change something. Only Christ will change the heart and nature of a man. I hope that makes sense, because I would hope that our Creator, yeah, the one who made you, knows you, and knows how to fix you. I would think so, right? Not festivals, not asceticism, not worship of angels, not visions, not all these things, only one name, only one person, Christ Jesus. Galatians 6:14, so far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Deuteronomy 34 says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. In fact, Impact Church, a verse that has been very near and dear to my heart lately is Matthew 21:31. It's a parable that Jesus speaks about these two sons, right? And one where one will say yes, but they don't go and do the work, and the other one will say no, but he eventually turns around and does the work that his father asked him to do. And the concluding statement of that parable is Jesus himself says, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. And he was talking to religious people. Why? Because it is the tax collectors who did maybe wicked things. It was the prostitutes who were often ostracized. But the turning point was that they believed in Jesus. The religious leaders did not. They actually said that Jesus was from Satan. But it was the tax collectors, the sinful people, the sinners, the ostracized, the forgotten, the judged. They will enter the kingdom of heaven before y'all. Impact Nova right now partners with this incredible ministry. I want you guys to actually come up in December to come meet with them. These are some ladies who used to work in the adult entertainment industry. And they met the Lord. And they could have just left it at that. Go to church, you know, enjoy, do good stuff in church. You know what they do now? They go back to the streets where they used to work and share the gospel with ladies who are in that business, that industry, as young as 14 years old. They go into the darkness because they have the light that is of Christ Jesus. I love it. It just goes to show that no matter your background, no matter how heavy the burden of your sin, no matter how much you don't feel close to God, that does not change the work that Jesus has done for us on the cross. Come with your tattoos. Come with your sin and shame. Come as you are. Friends, is that true for you today? Because it begins there, and it continues there, and it will finalize there as well in Christ Jesus. There are some here that might have grown up in church. They've been taught a lot of good things. In fact, perform church stuff very well. But also, beloved, remember, don't put your faith in the ritual or the festival. Make sure today, I don't care how long you've been a believer for, make sure today that your salvation and your relationship with God is in Christ Jesus alone. That's the key. And church friends, that's an invitation for here today, that if you believe that you're spiritual, maybe you lack assurance, maybe you're on the fence about Jesus, maybe you're on the fence about Christianity, all that stuff, your next step is to talk with any of the elders here and ask them, tell me more about Jesus. God is inviting you and pointing you to His Son, who is the truth, the way, and the life, the only one who will continue to sanctify you and make you clean. He is the one that saves you, and He simply says, come as you are. If that is you today, we want to hear from you. And I'm sure not just the elders, but the church here wants to hear from you. They are eager to speak about Jesus with you. They're not boasting in themselves. They're just boasting in Jesus, I'll tell you that. Let's close out with chapter 3. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Amen. All right, as we close out today, we're going to talk about puberty one more time. I'm sorry. We'll go back to our earlier illustration about puberty, all right? Now, my illustration showed that if you meet kids that you haven't seen in many years, you see the actual change. You see the contrast is night and day, right? And that's why it's disgusting. But for those of you who grow up, you know, maybe you're the parents of those kids and so forth, or you hang with them every day, you're their teacher, you may not see a stark contrast or change immediately, right? In fact, there are probably many times where, you know, you're just taking care of your kids, you're raising them up, and then maybe like 2 years down the line, you're like, oh, you're like an adult now. That's weird. All right, when did that happen? All right? You don't notice the daily changes here and there. And I share that today, this morning, because for those of you who are this kind of discouraged or need a kind of just encouragement today, sometimes there are people and seasons where we feel like we're far from God, we're not growing enough, or you know, we're growing quickly enough and so forth. I want to challenge us and encourage us today is this. Number one, because of Jesus, always remember, your salvation and relationship with God is sealed and secure. Oftentimes, understandably, people mesh the two. Sanctification, which is your growing in Jesus, and your salvation, your actual salvation, you're saved, right? And sometimes we mesh the two. And that's why a lot of people believe that we have to maintain our salvation. No. Don't think that way. Through Christ Jesus, you are saved. If you profess and confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. Let no one else convince you otherwise. But there are some people here who will grow very quickly, and there are some people who will grow very slowly. But the key matter is, you're still both saved. What matters, church, is that you are just continuing to walk in your relationship with your Lord. There are some people here that I will meet maybe next time I preach here, once, you know, Pastor Brandon comes back, which will be probably next year or something like that, right? And I will see some of you guys again, and I'll be like, man, you've grown again. Ew, that's disgusting, right? Ew, you drive now, all right? But there will be some people who I do meet with more often, and I won't see the changes so immediately. But that doesn't defeat the fact that they are still growing and changing. Church, be encouraged by this. I'm going to quote Martin Luther. Am I allowed to quote Martin Luther here? Not very good. Martin Luther says this: this life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified. That's what the Luther says. For those who have Christ, the work continues, and the journey still continues today. For those who have not started that journey, God is inviting you to come join us right now. Walk with us. Walk with Him, your Savior. Let us pray.
Hi, you're listening to the sermon podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.